Good morning. You can be seated for a minute. Now, you guys are going to have to bear with me. I have so many scribbles on this and so many notes added and stuff, but I just want to thank everybody who reached out while I was gone in Virginia. We definitely were not expecting like these back-to-back things that happen, but for those who reached out, you know, about Sean, and then those who brought meals and called and texted and all that. I was feeling pretty helpless in Virginia, but you guys gave me a lot of peace in the middle of all that. So I just want to thank you guys for that. We missed a very special birthday this last week. It was Miss Apple's birthday on the 11th. And I don't have singers because she normally starts it. So you guys are going to have to help me sing. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Come on, Jess, I don't hear you. Happy birthday, dear Apple. Happy birthday to you. We do have a ladies' ministry meeting today at 3 o'clock at the church. All ladies are welcome, and I should have brought it up, but we have, maybe Pastor could hold it up for me. If you didn't get it, we have these purple Secret Sister forms. Lois has them. If you didn't get one, you could get one from her. And if you want to get involved in that, it's just something that's really nice. And we just encourage each other and just little surprises here and then. And it just always seemed for me in the year while we were doing that, like I ended up getting something like just when I needed some encouragement. So consider doing that, and you could get your form to Lois. She would like to have the forms back by next week so that the following week we can draw names for that. We have no prayer and worship tonight. The funeral service for Johnny, Sean's son, is tonight from 2 to 6 in Tioga. The viewing, sorry. And then tomorrow is the funeral in Tioga at 11 at Zion Lutheran Church. So we will be going to that, and Pastor will be doing the service. So if you can make it, I know it's far, and I know not everybody can, but I know Brian and Sean would love to have whoever can come. Precepts is 9 o'clock on Tuesday, and then we have Moms Next at 6:30. Wednesday night Bible studies, we have dinner for kids and teens at 6:30, and then Bible study starts at 7. Also, make sure to check your foyers out or your mailboxes that are out in the foyer. There's still many families that have stuff in them, so I've been trying every Sunday if I see something to take it, but I don't think I've been able to catch everybody. And then also, we're trying to figure out a day that works for everybody to help get down Christmas stuff. I was going to see if maybe the ladies that come to the meeting today, maybe we could at least put a dent in it. But if you have any suggestions or a day that may work for most people, we're trying to get that figured out. So be patient with us. But personally, I don't mind still seeing the Christmas stuff out because I love it so much. But
good morning. The title of my message and the passage that I'm going to preach from is a very well-known passage. It's John 11, the death of Lazarus. And last week, Pastor texted me around 11 o'clock on Saturday and asked if I had a message prepared, and the Lord laid this passage on my heart, and I wish I could have preached it last week because it's been sitting like a bowling ball in my stomach this whole week. But I believe it's a message for today. And although I've read this passage hundreds of times, the message I'm going to preach today is a new one, and it's a fresh one, and it's one that I believe that's for this church. And if you have a kid, Kids Club is dismissing. Totally forgot. Sorry, Miss Lois. I guess I got 25-year-old brain, so not 41-year-old brain, but 25-year-old brain. Yeah. But I want to open up in prayer this morning. Lord, we pray and we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your scripture, Lord. And I pray that you would speak through me and use me as your vessel, Lord Jesus, that your word would go forth and it would go forth in power and might, Lord, that it would heal the places that it needs to heal, that it would encourage the places that it needs to encourage, and it would restore those it needs to restore, Lord. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. So John chapter 11, verses 1 through 4 says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil, who wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' And when Jesus heard that, he said, 'The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of God would be glorified through it.' Now, Lazarus of Bethany is sick. Lazarus is the Greek name for the Hebrew name Eleazar, which means God is my help. Lord, the one whom you love, the one whose name is God, is my help, is sick. Lord, the one whom you love is sick." They don't ask, Mary and Martha don't ask Jesus to come heal Lazarus. They simply state, "Lord, the one whom you love, the one whom you know, your friend, and the one whom you love is sick. Lord, would you help him? Could you help him? Lord, his name is a testament to your helpfulness, to your witness, that the Lord is my help." In verse 3, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Spoiler alert, Lazarus is dead when Jesus says this. So what do you mean that this won't end in death? He's already dead. He's been dead for 2 days. But the sickness will not end in death, not for Lazarus. Lazarus is getting resurrected, not for Jesus either. Although this is a miracle that begins the plotting of Jesus' death, and although this miracle takes place in Bethany, which is in Judea, which is 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, and likely Jesus, when he was standing on that tomb side, could look over and see Golgotha, could see the place of the skull, could see where he would give his life for creation, this sickness does not and will not end in death. Death will be conquered. Death will be defeated, both in 2 days from now and on the day of resurrection. And he gives us a promise at the beginning that this sickness will not end in death. So I want to talk about hope and faith this morning and what the difference is between the two. Hope is a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. It is a person that may help, a person or thing that may help or save someone. It's the hope that the police are on the way, that the ambulance is coming, that Lazarus is still just sick, that hope is coming. Hope, there's some visual aid to it. It looks, the situation still seems hopeful. Yeah, the building is on fire, but the firefighters are outside and they're putting out the flames. There's a robbery in place, but the police are coming. There's still hope. There's still something that I can look at and say, Lazarus is only sick. Hope is on his way. I've sent the letter to Christ and he is coming. But what is faith? In Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hopeful for and the evidence of things not seen." The faith goes beyond what our eyes tell us. Faith goes beyond the tomb. Faith goes beyond Lazarus being in the grave. Faith goes beyond Christ being buried in the tomb for 3 days. Faith takes us beyond. It doesn't make sense to have faith. Faith is the beyond the natural, is beyond what we can see. It is beyond what it may look like. Faith is what will get us through these days. I don't know if you've taken a look around the world today, but every day it seems like it gets more and more hopeless. But faith, and with faith we can stand. With faith we can say, our God is still moving, our God is still working, our God is still here, and he has not let us go. And in verse 5, he says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place in which he was. I'll blow my nose. Jesus loved them, but he loves them individually. Verse 5 doesn't say Jesus loved Lazarus' family, or Jesus just loved Lazarus, or Jesus loved Mary and Martha. No, he loves them, and he loves them individually, right where they are. Lazarus is dead. Martha rushes and questions Jesus, and Mary will weep at his feet, and yet Jesus loves them all. He loves them all individually. And he stayed two more days. This passage of Scripture, verse 6, doesn't make sense. He heard that he was sick, so he stayed two more days. It was probably mystifying to disciples. He's sick. Let's go and let's heal him. I've seen you heal the sick. I've seen you touch blind eyes. I've seen you walk on water. Let's go and let's heal the man. And for Mary and for Martha, it must have been agonizing. They say when someone dies, day 3 and day 4 are the hardest days. That the first 2 days don't exactly feel real, but the third and the fourth day, it really sets in. And according to Jewish tradition, it was believed that the soul stays near the body until the end of the third day, hoping to be resurrected. But at the fourth day, it is believed that there is no hope for resurrection. And verse 7 tells us, then after he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he seeks the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Verse 7, let us go to Judea. Let us go to the place 2 miles outside the place that I'm going to be crucified. Jesus could have raised Lazarus to life in an instant. He could have just spoke a word. All right, Lazarus, get better. Be healed. He didn't have to go to Judea. He is the Word incarnate, the Word that became flesh, the Word that spoke creation into existence. He could have easily just spoken the word and raised Lazarus from the dead. He could have stayed away from Judea. It was a dangerous place. It was a place where they just tried to stone him and kill him. And despite the disciples' warning, Jesus goes, and he goes willingly. He goes to a dangerous place. He goes to a painful place. He goes to the place of death. And he goes willingly despite the disciples' warnings. And he comes to us, and he comes with us, and he goes with us into our dangerous and into our painful places, and into our places where we have lost hope, where we have lost, where it just seems hopeless. He walks in with us. And there's not a place that he won't go with you, and there's not a place that he won't go for you. He is the ever-present God. He is the with us in our time of need. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In verse 9, he gives us some very practical statement. Are there not 12 hours in a day? And if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. There are many practical applications to this scripture that can bring us hope, that he's saying nothing can shorten our time here on earth. There is enough time for everything that needs to be done. There's also a duty that is sent forth that we only have this time, that we were put here for such a time as this, that this time must not be wasted, that we must work while the sun is still shining, because work will end when night comes. That we must get done what God has sent us here to do. That we cannot be slothful or lazy. That God has put us here in 2023 in Beulah, North Dakota for such a time as this. And we have work before us. So let us get busy. For the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. That we need not fear the devil or what he can do, because the light is still on us and is still on this church. These things, in verse 11, he said, these things he said after that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. And then Jesus says to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad that for your sakes I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. And then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go, that we may die with them. Now Jesus says that Lazarus is asleep. You see, Jesus can say that Lazarus is only sleeping because he knows that he will soon wake him up. But he also recognizes the reality of the situation, that Lazarus is dead. He speaks plainly to the disciples and those that see with natural eyes. Lazarus is dead. He realizes that we don't see things as he does, that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. The disciples, Mary and Martha, didn't know that grief would be comforted. They didn't know that life would be restored. They didn't know that many would believe because of this. And Jesus stoops down and is with them. He doesn't call them up to his level. He doesn't call them up to see things as he sees them. He stoops down in the nitty gritty and the pain and the hurt, and he goes with them and he speaks plainly with them. And then in verse 16, then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. Thomas, the twin. Thomas, the doubting disciple. Now, I didn't know that he was called the twin because he looks like Jesus. He was oftentimes confused for Jesus. He was probably oftentimes beaten, ridiculed, or scorned because of his appearance, that he looked like Christ. And I'm a twin. I have an identical twin. And throughout, from third grade all the way through high school, I was long-haired Logan, and he was short-haired Mason. That's the way they wouldn't confuse us. So I get getting confused for someone else. But also, I kind of feel the call of being called the twin with Christ, that we would look as a church so much like Christ, that we would be indistinguishable, that if we got our hair cut the right way, we would be indistinguishable. If I brought Mason up on stage and put a beard on him and glasses and gave him about 20 pounds, which is hard to believe because sticking skin and bone, but if I brought him up here, we'd look very similar, that he is my twin. He is the twin, that we would be the twin of Christ, that we would look like him, would act like him, we would speak like him, we would deliver grace and mercy and love like Christ. And in verse 17, and so when they came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews joined the women around Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to him, but Mary was sitting in the house. And now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, he will give you. He had already been in the tomb 4 days. As I spoke earlier, this was the point of no hope. Hope is gone. Lazarus is no longer sick. He's no longer kind of dead. The soul has left the tomb, according to Jewish superstition. Lazarus is truly dead. No one has ever come back after 4 days. Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days. Lazarus, the fourth day has come. The sun has risen on the fourth day. All hope is gone. And I can see Martha doesn't even let Jesus get into the city. She rushes him. She can't sit still. I must do something, anything but be still. And I understand and I sympathize with Martha. I'm not a still human being. I have to be out of bed by 9 a.m. Like, that's sleeping in. I feel like I'm burning daylight. I am a co-9. I guess I got it from my dad. I'm not as bad as my dad. My dad thinks burning daylight is 5 a.m. I'm not that big of a sinner, but 9 a.m. is my cutoff. But I got to be doing something. To sit still, I feel like the day is passing by. And Martha is clearly upset and disappointed at Jesus' late arrival. And she has every reason to be. She had been hoping for 3 days that he would show up. I can see Martha pacing by the door, not sitting down, not being comforted, just pacing by the door, looking out the window, looking through the door, expecting a knock at the door, expecting him to come around the corner, expecting someone to say that Christ has come and he is on his way. I can see her pacing back and forth, hoping that he would come, but the fourth day is here. And she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But now death had come. Now all hope was gone. You cannot look at the situation with natural eyes and have hope. Lazarus was dead and buried. The funeral has come. Everything seems hopeless. But she says some words, and this is the verse that has gripped me this week, verse 22, and it says, even now I know that whatever you ask, God will give you. It doesn't say back then. It says, even now that Lazarus is dead, even now my faith and my trust is in you, even now that all my hope is gone. Do you believe Jesus in the even now situations? We've had a lot of even now situations in 2022. We've had a lot of even now situations in 2023. The last 14 days have not gone according to plan. They haven't gone as expected. Even now, even after 4 days, even after the casket has been closed, even now that all hope is gone, even that there's no hope in sight, even now do you have faith that God can do what he says he can do. Whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Do you have even now faith after all that we've been through in 2022 as a church family? Even now, even right now, not back then, not while there was still hope on the horizon, but after the passing of many loved ones, after the passing, after the many diagnoses of cancer, even now we must choose faith. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Jesus said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. And Mary's theology takes over. Her head knowledge takes over. She says, I know he will rise again with the resurrection in the last days, but not right now. I know. She knew in her head, but not in her heart. And I sympathize with Martha. I know the scriptures. I know that the word says that he works all things for the good of those who love him who are called according to his purpose. I know that Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." I know the word says that he is close and he is near to the brokenhearted, that those who he calls, he will nowise cast out, that no one can shorten our days here on earth. But if it's just in our head and not in our heart, it's hard to believe. And some of us may need to memorize and go home and get in the Word and memorize these promises of God until they get from our head and into our heart. I can hear the monotonous repetition of theology in her voice. Yes, Lord, I know that in the distant future he'll rise again. Yes, Lord, I believe these things that eventually, that one day, but not now. But she needed right now. And there are people in this church that need right now. They don't need eventually. They don't need someday. They don't need someday in the future. They don't need 70 years from now. You need right now. And little did she know that it was coming sooner than she think. Not in the last days, but right now. And Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And little did she know that the embodiment of the resurrection and life was in her even now. Even in the midst of the most intense pain, her little brother is dead. Even now, Christ is with you, her, and he is with you. So what is your even now moment? Because even now, God is with you. God is doing something. And we may not know the side of eternity, but God is doing something for your good and for his glory even now. And I quoted Jeremiah 29:11 earlier. But this scripture, when you look at it in context, isn't that encouraging? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." But in context, Israel, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. You're going to be under the rule of a foreign king under Nebuchadnezzar for 70 years. You're going to be in captivity. You're going to be away from the promised land for 70 years. And there's going to be 70 years of pain, 70 years of slavery, 70 years of hopelessness. But have faith. Build while you're here. Plant gardens while you're here. Buy home, buy land while you're here. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, give you a future and a hope." It may not look like it, but our future and our hope is still before us. And when she had said these things, she went her way secretly and called Mary, her sister, saying, "Teacher, the teacher has come and is calling for you." And as soon as she heard it, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." And then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." She says the very same thing that Martha says. But she does it from a different position. You see, Martha runs and Mary falls down. Martha says these words from her head, but Mary says them from her heart. Martha tries to hide her pain in her theology, and Mary brought her pain to the one that could heal it. There's no hiding in Mary. Mary says the words from her heart, and her heart connects with his heart. Her pain connects with his pain. She doesn't stand before the Lord, but she falls down and she kneels in her heart of hearts. And she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And therefore, Jesus saw her weeping. And the Jews who came with her weeping, and he groaned in his spirit, and he was troubled. And he says, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Come, could not this man who opened the eyes of blind save have kept this man, also kept this man from dying?" Now Jesus saw the weeping, and he groans in his spirit. His pain has connected with their pain. His spirit has connected with his spirit. And he says, a hard question, "Where have you laid him? Where does it hurt? Where is that thing you don't talk about? Where is that thing you haven't given to me? Where is it? Where have you laid him?" And Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible may actually be one of the most powerful. That is, God in the flesh connects with his creation, and he weeps with them. He doesn't just dab his eye with the tissue. It's not that one single tear man cry. It was a snot fest. It was a true crying of tears. It was a weeping. It was a groaning. It was so deep it cut him to his heart and to his spirit. He weeps with the weepers, and he weeps with us now. He did not look past their pain and see Lazarus resurrected. He got down with them, and he weeps with them. And this is a strange scene, because we know how this story ends. He weeps, and no less than 6 verses, he says, "All right, Lazarus, get up, come back to life." But he weeps with them. He sits with them in their pain. He will sit with your pain and with you and your pain and your heart hurt and your sorrow as long as is needed. As he sits with Martha and he weeps with Mary. And Jesus weeps so we can weep. It's okay to cry. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to be sorrowful. And the Jews that were with him said, "See how he loved him." Jesus loved him, and he loves you. He does. And even though he let Lazarus die, he loves him. And he's with him. And he's in the pain. He's in the hurt. And he's in the sorrow. And he could have stopped this from happening, but he loves them. He loves Mary. He loves Martha. He loves Lazarus, and he loves you. And then Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and the stone lay against him. And Jesus said, "Take the stone away." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days." And he said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" "Take the stone away. Let me see," Christ is saying, "let me see where it hurts. Let me see where the pain is. Let me see where the death is. Let me see what you keep holding on to." That you would take the stone away, that you would quit hiding it, that you would quit putting on a mask, putting on a face, and acting like everything's okay. Come to me. And you may protest and say, "Lord, it stinks. It stinks to high heaven. I have held on for it for too long. It's messy. It's gross. It's too painful. The perfume has worn off. It's already been 4 days, or maybe it's only been 4 days. It's too raw. It's too messy. The bandages are still on. And Lord, it stinks." And Jesus questions Mary and says, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And then they took the stone away from where Jesus had laid him. And Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who were standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And now he had said these things. He cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound head and foot in grave clothes. And he came and his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Jesus is saying, I made you a promise and I'm going to fulfill it right now in the hurt and the pain, not eventually, not someday, not in the last days. Even now I am with you. Even now I am for you. Even now have faith that I am the Son of God, that I am the resurrection and the life, that he is with you in the even now. And it may not look like it, and it may look like death has won, but I am the resurrection and the life, that you would have faith, that you would put your trust and your hope in me. And they took the stone away. And this is a remarkable step of faith and obedience, that he gave them a promise. And he drew attention, that Christ drew attention to himself. And Jesus called upon them to confess their faith. And then he called them to act it out. Take the stone away and let Christ do what only Christ can do. Let Christ heal what Christ can only heal. Let Christ restore what Christ can only restore. Let him bring peace to where he can only bring peace to. And Jesus prays and declares with a loud voice. And at that moment, Jesus walked into a dead, even now, situation. He conquered death and he brought life to a dead place and healed the covered up pain in their life. And he will do the same for you even now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy, Lord. And for those that are in an even now place, that they're in a place that where hope is gone, Lord, I pray that they would put their faith, their trust in you, that they would take away, that we would take away the stones in our life, the things that are covered up, the things that are hidden, the things that we still have given no light to, Lord, that we have not allowed you into, Lord, because maybe it stinks to high heaven or we're just not ready, God. I pray that we would have the faith and the hope and the trust that you would step in, that we would say right now, Lord, you can heal, you can move, and you can touch, God. That doesn't have to be eventually. It doesn't have to be someday, Lord. But right now, you are with us. Right now, you are for us. And right now, you feel our hurt. You feel our pain. And you are the only one that can minister to it. And we thank you that you are with us in the even now moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the song that we played at the beginning, we're going to play again, and these altars are open. If you need healing, if you need restoration, if you need peace, God is here even now.